Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Rules. What's going on? Coming to you live from Conroe, Texas. It's the premiere of Reality Rules with Andrew Gibson and producer Mama S. Today's episode is brought to you by the Flip Flop Company.
Welcome to the second episode of Reality Rules with Andrew Gibson and Mama S, our producer. How are you tonight, Mama S?
I'm great, thanks.
We had an excellent night of television, don't you think?
Yes, we did. The ending, a finale, a great finale, and a good first going for Survivor.
Yeah, it was good. It was all around a good night. I mean, you said a great finale. I mean, it got a little predictable, and of course, we'll get to that later. Tonight's episode, we're going to be recapping the episodes of the start of Survivor Second Chances, and we will get the Big Brother finale towards the end. But before we do that, we have an announcement, and it's something exciting to announce today. We're going to be relying heavily on your phone calls as we talk about that today, and our call-in line is 805. 285-9730. And also, you want to go ahead and get plugged into our chat on our main page, because we'll be asking you some questions and giving you some chance to interact in that. So go ahead and get into our chat and get that number saved in your phone. But we're going to be announcing our first ever contest here on Reality Rules. Our producer, Mama S, Susan Camosa, is going to be working on that and kind of helping me organize that as we go. But our contest for everything is we are going to be doing a Survivor Pool Fantasy Pick Contest. What this is going to be is this season marks the first time in which actually we picked the cast. That was the cool thing about Second Chances is we picked the cast. We picked the people that were going to be on this season. So we want to give you a chance to pick up. Starting now, we will open our phone line. Again, that phone number is 805-285-9730. You can call that number, you can write in our chat, or you can even message Susan on Facebook. If you do all of these three with any of the 19 players in the game, you can pick any of those 19 players. Whoever tonight picks who's going to be the winner of this season, crowned at the end of this season, we've got some prizes for you. We're not going to reveal them all right now, but first place will get a total of $100 worth of prizes and gift cards. Second place will get 50, and third place will get 20. This is a Survivor Pool contest. You can call in at 805-285-9730. You can write who you want in our chat here, or you can message Susan on Facebook. She'll be posting the rules specifically on
and
our Facebook page.
First come,
right now.
First serve. The rules, everything is posted. It's first come, first serve.
First come. So if you want Vitus, then I would call in right now so you can be our first loser because he was our first casualty tonight, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. So we'll be taking those calls as we go tonight. We've got some awesome stuff planned. I want to start with Survivor that's going on here and different things. I'm getting some comments in my Facebook and different things saying the shade towards Vitus. I want to get to Survivor first, and then we're going to move on to the Big Brother segment. I think we'll spend a lot of our time on Survivor, but we're going to focus on this first. So we start the season of Second Chances, and that's kind of the theme that we go through. It's with the cast reveal, which we already knew, but they're introducing the different members of the cast. They're talking about Jeff and his peanut butter moment and Cass creating her chaos. And then we talk about Spencer and how it was a chess match. And then Abby, of course, and all the mistakes that she made, and I think in today's episode continued to make. I'll get into her a little bit later, some more on that, and the villain that she was. Now, here's what I want to start with, Susan. Before we get into the episode itself, we see in All-Star seasons, we see in All-Star episodes, we see these people different than any other game because you know normally who's playing the game before the game starts. So, and I've watched a couple interviews or anything, there were they calling? Were they on the phone? Are they making? I mean, we're in the org community, so we see pre-made alliances all the time. Do you think in this case, these people came in already with alliances as they were starting this game?
Yes, I'm positive. Why wouldn't they? We do it all the time. That's one of the bonuses. They would have been dumb not to have it all figured out before they went on there.
Absolutely. I think they did it. Now, the thing with that aspect is, of course, in Survivor, you don't know how the tribes are going to be. You don't know how the game is going to play. And as we look at the twists later, I think Survivor did a pretty good aspect of not changing the twist, bringing them to another level, making them harder, making you reconcept this different thing, making you reconcept this game. But I definitely think that, that pre-mades were made. Of course, CBS and Survivor are going to try to stop that from happening. They're going to make it look like it's not happening. They're not going to talk about the pre-mades or say, oh yeah, before this game started. Because they don't want that to think that has happened there. So we get into that, and then we get into the very first part of the season. We see Jeff on the boat. We see the four boats coming up. We see everybody sitting on their different rafts. He starts to interview people. He starts to do these things. And then look at Terry Dietz and say, hey, we know Terry's a challenge beast. We know this thing. And you can just see the look in Terry's face. Terry's like, oh, why did he call me out on that? Why did he say that? That's something that's interesting about this season is these people do have reputations. They do have things that they have to prove or they're known for. If they change towards that early, that could be an asset, but it could also be a downfall. Joe straight up tells everybody in the cast, we know Terry can win everything. We know he's a power beast. We know he can win comps. And he puts that target on Terry before the game even starts. And then Jeff looks at them all and says, okay, you've got two. This boat here that has all of these supplies on it. It's got anything you can need to set up camp, to build a tarp, and had some food and different things on it. And then out on the other end is another boat that has a bag of rice. Now, this bag of rice, as we know, represents food, is representative of Survivor. It's represented food since the very beginning of this game. And they have to get everything they want off the boat, and then as a tribe, make the cutoff from the ship and start heading towards the rice. So let's talk through this twist here, this concept. What do you think between the things that are on the boat and the thing that is on the boat and then the rice that's on the boat? What is the advantage of going for different things on the two different ships?
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on what you like. I mean, it's really in the spur of the moment. Are you thinking? You're just thinking, okay, we want to eat. Grabbing what's light, maybe grabbing what's more filling, bananas versus grapes, breads versus junk.
Right, and that's where
rice
I got confused. That's where I got confused because there's food on the boat. So I don't see what the vitality is. That's just a non-perishable, and it's a food source that'll always be there. But there was food on this boat and food on that boat. So I got confused as to why when they put bananas, when they put fruit, when they put live chickens on this ship, why is that bag of rice more important than anything on that boat? That's where I got confused in the whole twist of Survivor and the twist aspect. If you have anything you want to say about this.
I wouldn't have went after the rice. I would have gotten more off the one boat that we could have went.
Absolutely.
Food.
I think that boat.
It's white rice. You're going to be hungry anyways after you eat it. Go for something with protein, bananas, stuff like that. That would have been my thinking. Why fight for the
shelter.
Rice and get all worn out?
Because you can gather these kind of food. You can gather these different things in the jungle, and you can do that. But setting up your camp and your base aspect, and we all know that Jeff's going to give them another chance to win rice or win food as this competition goes. Yes, it's a show. Yes, they're supposed to starve, but they're not. I didn't see the advantage of going for the rice and spending less time. To me, it was more of a knockdown, drag-out fight as to who could get what off of the ship in that aspect. And then you see one of my favorite moments of this episode, and I hope it didn't go overlooked by a lot of people, but one of my favorite specific episode was the boats take off and Kelly Wigglesworth, who I was the most excited to see play this game. She hasn't played since season one. She lost by one vote. She's the original runner up, the only person from season one. She doesn't even get in the boat. Kelly Wigglesworth just takes off the boat. She straight up just starts swimming in that direction, starts looking towards that area. She's just swimming towards the boat. Do you think, Mama S, this is more of a – was she trying to prove a point that she's not old, that she can compete, that she can try to do this? Or was this – hey, I'm going to go get this rice no matter what?
No, I think she was trying to prove a point. No, I think she was trying to prove a point. Like, look at me, season one, it's been 15 years.
Absolutely.
I don't think there was any other goal behind it but that.
I think that it was straight up. She was heading towards the boat. Well, she was going to I'm going to swim so these people know that I'm competing. They know I'm here to play. They know that I'm not old. Taking your calls, 805-285-9730. Before we continue, how's our fantasy pool looking? Who we got left on our draft?
We have, I'm counting up. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to everybody's messages and do this at the same time.
We've had an outpour of messages for the draft, which is awesome. Keep those picks coming in.
We will have 9 players left after I update.
9 players left after she updates, and she'll continue to update that. Wow, that's awesome. 11 people have already been chosen in our fantasy draft. 8 people have already been chosen. You to call in. We would love to hear some call-ins so you can explain to us why you picked that person, and we can go for that. Now, that part ends, and they go back to their camps. And as they're back at their camps, we keep hearing over and over and over again, and I think the main theme of the night from the council was old school versus new school. This is the crazy part. Survivor's been around. This is its 31st season. And we've got somebody from season 1. We've got 2 people from season 2. We have all of these different people that are playing this game. And we hear over and over, okay, this is the new school way of doing it. What do you think the difference is? And I would love to hear this from some callers. What is the difference between an old school Survivor player and a new school Survivor player? What separates the two? Terry made the perfect example of an old school Survivor player. At least start talking game. They started setting up camp. They started worrying about survival. They started worrying about all of these things. And then the new player is not as much worried about setting up the things that you need, but they're more worried about the security that they have in the game. And that was new for Jeff. That was new for Kelly. What point in this Survivor saga did this change from that to that? And why is that a classification of an old school player versus a new school player? And what's the better move? I do see the social implications coming more than the survival implications of this whole, we give you food at the beginning. That's new school. That's not old school. Survivor 1 and 2, it was like a bag of rice and that was it, you know?
Oh, I agree. But I just think why it's different now for the new players and they see strategy is because you've watched the show for so long. And when it first came out, people didn't know what to expect or how to go about it. And all these people going on now have watched the show and they get that, okay, you've got to talk to this person. You've got to do this. And they start overplaying it because they think that's the way they should be. Whereas the veterans of the show seen it as, no, we got to survive, we got to get shelter, we have to eat, let's worry about talk later, because they didn't know then that that would benefit maybe their game.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting. That's what I'm loving about this season so far, is just the vastness that you have. And some people are playing the game. I'll tell you, my shine out star of the night, my favorite person, I'm totally team Jeff Varner. Got to watch him till the end. I'm going to cheer for Jeff Varner. I love Kelly Wigglesworth. It's the old school players that I'm rooting for probably more than players. And that's just why. But let's talk about some specific instances that happened between arriving at the camp and then getting to the first immunity challenge. First we see is Terry and Spencer. And Terry and Spencer come together, Terry Deeds and Spencer come together, and they start talking, and they form this bond of, hey, I'm not coming from you. Hey, I'm not coming after you. There's this going on there. What do you think of the Terry-Spencer combination?
I didn't really read much into it, to be honest.
I love Spencer. I think he's a great player. I think he's smart.
He's not a favorite of mine, but, I mean, we seem to have opposites each time here, Andrew.
absolutely. We'll get to that more when we get to Big Brother later. And you won tonight. You beat me in that aspect. So.
Yes, I did. My vote count. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yours was pretty close. Mine was pretty off, and that's okay. But I love the Terry and Spencer team up because Spencer has that mental logic. Spencer has that mental aspect, and Terry's got that physical. So, I mean, I think pairing those two together, to watch. And then we switch over to the other tribe and we see Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy. Jeremy starts to build this powerhouse alliance. It was him, Tasha, Keith, Savage and Joe. And you see immediately Savage said, Fishbuck, and Savage said, no, let's not go into him. Let's not go into this. But I see Jeremy here, and it didn't catch up with him much today. I'll be interested to see what it does in the future. He starts playing the game really hard, really early. I know there's a difference between Survivor and between Survivor. He just named a six-person alliance in this situation that he's trying to form while people are building shelters. I mean, is that more positive in Survivor? What do you think the ramifications are of him making this big group so early?
I think the more recent ones will understand where he's coming from, but I do think the older ones are looking at it like, come on already, help. I mean, he can take both. I mean, either way, he can take it both either way. It depends on who's looking at it.
Absolutely. And then they start talking about this, and the funniest moments of the night for me was when Savage and Joe, and Savage is talking about his daughters, and he's sitting on the couch with his daughters, and one of his daughters looks at Joe and says, oh my gosh, he's perfect. And you look at Savage towards Joe, and Savage almost has like this bromance man crush that's going on here. Calvin's saying in the chat, not the biggest Jeremy fan. He's going to get screwed at some point. I'm a stealthy Kelly Wentworth fan after that idol tonight. We'll talk about the idol here in a minute. But I agree with you on Calvin. I think Jeremy made that move, and I think that move is going to come back. And it's going to bite him in the long run. I don't think that that's going to stand. Then we go to the other tribe. It flips back, and we go to Vitus. And we see Vitus start to flirt and to start to manipulate and to start to tell people that he's basically going to take these women and transform them into what he needs and what he needs to do like his previous season. And as he's saying this, I get a flashback to the Big Brother with the Golden Keys and Keith's Angels. And I'm like, Vitus is going to just try to come in and turn and manipulate and go with these women. And he's immediately discovered by several of them. It immediately doesn't work the right way. It immediately starts to think, I'm like, oh, man, Vitus is going to be an early boot. Vitus is setting himself up. Something has to happen because I love watching him. I think he's a great player. I loved his brother. I think one of the most deserving winners in this show, and I'm really excited to see him play it again. And so I'm like, I need something to happen. And then something happens. Abby Marie loses a bracelet. This was the craziest, stupidest thing I have ever seen. She starts saying, "Oh, I'm going to play this so differently. Oh, I'm not going to do anything, and I can't find my bracelet." And she makes the biggest deal out of losing this little leather bracelet. I'm laughing at the television because this is typical Abby. This is typical what she does. She takes something small. Yes, it's a bracelet, but it's a leather bracelet. And she just blows these things out of and then it kind of went away until Abby finds the bracelet again. And I'm laughing because Abby's saying, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to let it go. And then what does she do? She runs and tells every 3 seconds is her telling Wu. It's her telling everybody else about, oh my gosh, I found this bracelet. I found this bracelet. I found it in her bag. I found it in her bag. And the situation was just Abby being Abby. And she comes into this game saying she's got something to prove. She wants to show that she's not the same person before. But I don't know what you think, Mama S. To me, she was playing the exact same way.
I totally agree. I was so expecting her to go. Me and a friend were watching it, and I'm like, no, she's going. She's a bitch. They were all saying, and he called it. He knew he was going. I was so disappointed. Oh,
and I want to talk about what went wrong with that when we get to the tribal council phase. And then the last thing I want to talk about before we get to that and to the immunity challenge is we see Kelly Wentworth in the island. We see her looking for a hidden immunity idol. We see Stephen Fishbach looking for a hidden immunity idol. It's a paper. She gets so excited. She shoves it in her bathing suit bottom. She thinks she found the idol, and she opened it up, and it was a clue. And the clue specifically says that you don't have the hidden immunity idol, but this year we're hiding it at the challenge. And you have to, we're going to tell you exactly where it is. We're going to tell you exactly, all you have to do is grab it in plain sight, and do you take that risk? What do you think of this twist, this change to the idol?
I like that. It gives it a little more, I mean, it should step up. These guys are like all-stars, so it shouldn't be just a hide-and-seek and let's go running around the jungle and find it. I think that was great. Steps up everybody's
game. Oh, I loved
it. Do you go for it? Do you not?
Do you make it obvious? How do you go about it? And so we get to this challenge. And I want to talk about the challenge itself, but I want to stay on the idol hunt that we're on right now. And Kelly Wentworth knows exactly where it is. It comes to the point. She gets to the pedestal, and she just can't grab it. She can't grab the idol without getting to the point where everybody's looking at the key, and you can just see it on her face. She wants this idol so bad. She keeps looking towards it, looking back, looking towards it, looking back, looking towards it, looking back. And then she finally says, okay, I'm going to grab the idol. And she makes the grab. She grabs the idol off of the podium, even notices. Nobody catches a beat. Nobody has anything. I guarantee you these people are watching the episode tonight and they're like, how did I not catch that? How did I not grab that fact that she just took this idol and she took it from her? And she did it very well. I mean, she timed it. She planned it out. The very first episode gets a hidden immunity idol. And I loved it. I thought the twist, I thought the adding of that was just incredible. And I would, now I'm interested to see, now that she knows it's at the challenge, I want to see her start watching the other tribe and looking for somebody to go for it, because she knows that that's how it's hidden. If you have anything to say, call us in, 805-285-9730. Then we get to the challenge, and the challenge is the quest for fire. It's the very first ever immunity challenge done in Survivor. And here's what I'm curious about, Mama S, and you can see what you think. Do you think that this is going to be a recurring thing? Do you think every challenge is going to be a second chance to where they're all going to repeat challenges from previous seasons?
Yes.
So we won't see any original challenges. These challenges are going to be challenges that were either won or failed to everything that was done. And I agree with you. I think that's what they're going to do. And I think it completes this second chance series. I'd love to see what you say on the chat about that. But we see the first second chance then come with Kelly Wigglesworth. And Jeff says from the very beginning, Kelly failed at this challenge. She lost it on season one. Behold, we get to the key point, and they give Kelly the stick. It's like she admits that she messed up, but they give her the stick. They let her try again, and she fails epically. And the tribe that she's in, the tribe loses because even when Spencer gets close there at the end, the stick that she had wasn't strong enough. It snaps on him. And I'm just like, she fails at this second chance. But it's not the fact that she failed in the second chance that bothered me. It's why did the tribe ever give her that second chance? They put themselves in that situation when they know that she wasn't successful at it before. They know she failed at it. And they do that anyway. Do you think that was her stepping up and trying to say, hey, here's my pride, here's my thing here?
They're all going to be doing it at their second chances. They're going to say, hey, give me this shot. I mean, for me personally, I'd be like, well, you didn't do so good the last time. Let's let somebody else try. But I think second chances, it's all going to be all of them. There's going to be a competition that they all kind of feel that, and they're going to want it.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't know if I can give them that opportunity. I don't know if I can give them that chance to do that. On our board here, before we continue on to what happened after Tribal Council, Monica's taken. Looks like we've got Kimmy still not taken. Wow, that's a surprise for me. Sierra's taken. All the women. The women are going first. I guess people are thinking this is going to be a women-dominated season. Jeff and Terry Dietz, Stephen Fishbach, Wu, Spencer, Keith, Jeremy, Joe. There's still lots of people open. Give us a call. Pick who you want at 805-285-9730. Write it here in the chat. Message Susan. Comment on the post. Let us know. Get in on this Survivor poll. So we get to the end. The challenge ends. And Jeff basically says, There is no time to wait. There is no nothing. We're going straight to tribal council. I didn't expect that. That threw me a little off guard here. I thought Survivor and CBS was going to let them go back to camp, let them make some drama, like situations, and let them go here. We see Calvin's talking about Abby. I feel like Abby can be a good player, but even if she makes it, she's going to have too many haters. Bless her iconic heart. And they say they're going straight to tribal council. Did you like this, Susan? Did you like the fact that they said tribal?
Yeah, it gives it like that little mini effect. You know, we're all in minis and we're like, oh my God, just so quick. You only have seconds. I think it adds to the intensity. But then again, it really didn't do much. I mean, obviously there was pre-mades going in. They all had decided this, just like he said. They all knew what was going on. They were just all playing dumb about it. So there's obviously...
And I got that. Like, I figured... But to me, I knew the Abby Maria bandwagon was going to happen. Like, I knew that was coming. I was shocked that there were so many votes for Vitus, because we don't hear that very much. We didn't hear... We heard one or two people say... but we see that. But I love Jeff Varner standing up and just saying, hey, guys, don't act like this is something new. We've all talked about it. He puts people together and he says, vote how we've talked about. Vote with your heart. Vote with what you know is coming. And he starts pointing the target to Abby. And then yeah. And then you see Kelly Wigglesworth like, okay. And you see all these things starting to be formed. Now, when you look to the votes, though, the only woman that voted for Abby was Kelly, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I was surprised. Why did she – she said she wanted Abby out, but she didn't vote that way in the long run. And I don't understand where that came from. That was an – like, that's the vote that shocked me. So that I thought was going to put the nail in Abby's comment, and that's the vote that really, really shocked me the most. I don't understand why she voted that way. She just had that tiff with Abby. She's in the water with Jeff Varner telling Jeff, I want Abby out, but she doesn't go through on the vote, and that to me was probably one of my biggest at the end of the night in that. But we had Vitus, the first person voted out, more of a new school player, so we see the old school kind of win in this specific aspect and continue to move on. Overall, I thought the premiere was great. I'm super excited for next episode. I'm super excited for what's going to happen. We have a great cast that was picked by America, and I'm super excited about it. What about you, Susan? What did you think overall of the episode tonight?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I liked all the players. I mean, I think it's going to be a great season. I have a lot of favorites. I have a lot of not favorites, but we'll see where it goes in the next couple of weeks.
So, Priest, episode one pick. Who do you think wins?
Joe?
Joe. Okay, you pick Joe. Mine's going to have to be, I got to do it, Jeff Varner.
Yeah,
got to
so.
Do it, Jeff Varner. I've got to say, Calvin says, considering the screen time they had given tonight, I feel she will float all the way up until she is voted out, speaking of Paige. I could see that. I don't see her getting a whole lot of screen time. She's a small person in a big cast. All right, so that's going to wrap up our Survivor portion of the show. I have two clips for upcoming games, and then we will transition over to Big Brother. If you're tuning in right now, we do have our contest going for our Survivor Fantasy Pool. Look onto our Facebook page for more details about that. But we got two commercials, one from Blackout, the one we talked about last week, and an upcoming announcement for the Season 3 of Big Bro. A new game coming to Facebook is Blackout. It is a third-person competition-based alias game. It is ran by none other than Jason Voorhees himself and has many famous killers and survivors trying to kill and or survive once again. Your goal is to be on top or get your lights snuffed out, because if you aren't, you're blacked out. For more information, see Wade on Facebook at Wade James Lee. See Wade on Facebook for more information on the upcoming game Blackout, a horror mix, sure to keep your lights on. From the host that brought you Survival of the Fittest and Dehydration, Big Brovival is back. Big Brovival 3, Blood vs. Water. Now, this may be a common twist for Survivor games, but if you experience the level of gameplay in Big Brother, now you get the chance. Big Brovival's next season will focus on everything Blood vs. Water. You have to apply with a partner. Now, this partner can be either a real-life connection or just your best org friend. But you will be playing the game together. Applications open October 2nd, with the game starting early November. Contact Alex Viber on Facebook for more information or follow the official Big Brovival Facebook page. Big Brovival 3, Blood vs. Water. All right, two new games that are going to be casting and starting things. I got to put props towards them both. We're not talking a whole lot about orgs today. We'll have a more org-centered episode coming up. But look into the Big Brovival. I just got on at Season 2. I just really started looking at Big Brovival. It's an incredible game. It's so fun to watch. I wish I could apply for Season 3. I'm not going to be able to this time, but I'm hoping we'll be able to cover it a lot and look into those aspects and really, really, really contact Alex. Get in on the Big Brovival. It's so much fun to watch, and I can only imagine that it's going to be better. So make sure you get into those. But let's take turns here. Let's switch forward from our Survivor mindset, and let's look towards Big Brother. We've got two poll questions that Mama S is going to put up in our Facebook page. So make sure you answer these questions. One's already up, so that's great. But the two questions to start looking for is the first one was Vanessa Rupp? And the second question that she's going to be putting up here shortly is, will Austin and Liz's relationship last outside of the house? Was Vanessa Rupp and will Austin and Liz's relationship? And we're going to kind of talk things going up. Alex, if you're listening, which I know you are, we've got people in the chat saying that they're going to try to convince their sister to apply with them. So Big Brovival 3, Blood versus Water, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But that's what we're going to do. So Big Brother starts, and we see the recap of the whole season. It's always the longest recap that they have because they're trying to get one until this point here. And then part one of the HOH is posted. And I have to admit, I loved I thought that it was a great thing to watch. I loved the challenge. I loved them sliding into the walls. I loved them dipping them in the candy applesauce. I loved every aspect of it. I predicted from day one that Vanessa would win part one. She has proven herself in endurance. She's proven herself in these different aspects. I was surprised that Steve was the first to fall. I really thought that Liz would have fell first, Steve would have fell second, and then Vanessa would fall. But they're playing this, and Steve finally falls, and it's Vanessa and Liz. And I don't know about you, Mama S, but I'm watching, and to me, Liz looked more comfortable than Vanessa.
I thought she did. I think Liz let Vanessa get in her head and just thought, oh, okay.
Absolutely, and it doesn't make sense to me. When Vanessa starts talking, Liz should immediately clue in that Vanessa's hurting. She's trying to find a way out here. She's trying to figure out a way to get away from this. But no, Liz doesn't do that. She just drops. And I don't – that just is a testament to the social Vanessa play this season. Vanessa not only dominated herself in the game herself, but she played a social and a mental game in every single comp. She did it with Julia on the bowling challenge when she got Julia to pick Austin. I mean, this girl, Vanessa, never, ever, ever stopped playing Big Brother. She played in every aspect and every second of this game. And if I was voting in the poll, and I'm not right this second, I will later, I would 100% say that Vanessa was robbed. I do agree. Vanessa wins part one, and we see that happen, and then we go to part two. I loved the comp. I loved the concept. But the minute the TV showed a crossword puzzle in the backyard, I looked at my wife and I said, I mean, that challenge was made for Steve. that challenge was something that Steve is, it was the nerd, it was the aspect. I mean, that challenge was created for Steve. I don't know if you agree there, Mama S, but to me, when I saw part two, what else was winning? And what surprised me and impressed me the most was how well Liz actually did. I mean, it was within 3 minutes of each other, about 2.5 minutes was the score difference, and Liz only in that aspect. So for me, I was not surprised Steve won. The biggest surprise out of part two for me was how well Liz actually did. I think she played well. I think she fought. And you know, she was a competition winner in this game. She did win a lot of competition. She did fight hard in those, and there's nothing to discredit it. So part one goes to Vanessa, part two goes to Steve, and we come to part three. I'm coming into this final competition, and as I'm watching it and as I'm seeing it play out, I pretty much say before the part three HOH even starts, whoever in the competition wins this game. Did you feel that also coming into this competition, Susan?
Yeah, I did. Once I seen what the competition was, I knew Steve was winning it.
Yeah, but when you get to part three, I mean, you look at the fact that Steve's going to win. And whoever wins this, they're taking out Vanessa. Vanessa knew they were taking out Steve. The jury was pretty obvious. They were leaning to not give it to Liz. Whoever won part three was going to win the whole game. And I think that that was adamant.
Yeah.
I think that it was a great I would have failed miserably at that. I think I missed like four out of the seven, or like six out of the nine questions that there were. The answer shocked me
a
little
bit.
Yeah,
I was only one off.
No,
but
where
I
you,
told you at the end of the night when we talked, I said nope. I told you Vanessa was voting Liz. Those were his
yeah,
votes.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a
right
second because that vote shocked me still, and you were right on that one. Steve goes into the final three, he goes into part three, and he dominates the competition. It comes down to the one vote. It comes down to the one last question. Steve wins it, and he goes in. And I think what he said to Vanessa was amazing. He looked at her and he said, "This is a game. You blessed. I compliment you, but I have to take you out here. It's just the best thing for my move. It's the best thing for my game." And Vanessa, the person that deserved to win this game the most, walks out the front door. My reaction, my favorite reaction, is not Steve about to have a panic attack. It's not Vanessa, who I think fully and very respectfully and classy walks out the front door. It was Liz. I mean, she just starts going crazy and thanking and thanking and thanking Steve. I need the money. I need the money. I need the money. And I'm like, Liz, don't be thanking Steve right now. Be turning around and starting to get ready to talk to the jury. But I think Liz, if that got caught up in the moment of making the final two and didn't take the time to mentally prepare for the final two. And I think that showed in her questions. I think it showed in her answers. We'll look at that here in a second. But we see that begin to happen. And then we go to the jury. We see Dr. Will sitting with the jury, and we see him talking. You have to understand, before we get into this, Dr. Will is my, like, idol. Like, I love Dr. Will. He is one of the best players to ever play this game. He's my favorite player to ever play this game. And he goes in and he starts talking. And still has a stick up his butt. He's still very anti-Vanessa, very anti-Vanessa. What surprised me the most about this jury conversation was Johnny Mack. I think Johnny Mack was 100% playing stupid in this game. But when he got to that jury, what he was saying made so much sense. And what he was saying were smart comments and strategic-based comments. And you really see that this Johnny Mack that was made out to be just this silly, goofy guy, he's really smart. And we really see that.
He made bad choices while playing.
Oh, I do too, but I don't know if he made bad choices or I think he just never forced the choice. He went with the flow too much in the game. He just let it all happen around him. And so we get to the jury questions. I thought the jury questions were kind of silly. What's your biggest move? No strategy, just a vote. They were very, very, very basic questions. Austin almost made me throw up when he's like, oh, my gosh, I love you. Oh, my gosh, you are so proud, blah, blah, blah. The jury questions to me, he didn't do a whole lot. And then the votes were revealed. And you see Steve, Becky votes Steve, Meg votes Steve, Shelly votes Steve, James votes Steve, and Johnny Mac votes Steve. And Liz only gets Julia, Austin, and Vanessa's vote. I called it. I messaged Susan right before the vote and said that it was going to be a 7-2 vote. And she said, no, no. Do you think that was a bitter vote for Vanessa? Why do you think Vanessa ended up voting for Liz?
Bitter because Steve didn't pick her.
So it was.
She really didn't have enough time for questioning. She didn't have. I mean, she was still in that. Oh my God, you didn't pick me! I just lost all this money phase.
And we kind of argued about this. And if anybody can help me with this, in the past, I really thought that last juror eliminated got to ask one question by themselves because they weren't in on the question making process. And I remember that happening on several seasons. Now I'm kind of in every season or not. But they didn't give Vanessa the chance to address the jury. They didn't give Vanessa the chance to talk and to ask these questions. Alex, if you're still listening, message me about that. Has that been every season that's juror vote or ask a question? Because I think they have. I always thought the third place person got to make up their own question since they weren't involved in the question making process. But Vanessa didn't get the opportunity. Vanessa didn't get to talk about it, and she did. She ended up voting Liz, and that surprised me. I really did. I thought she was going to vote for the best player. But here's where I want to flip the turn. Susan, if Vanessa evicts Steve, do you think Steve votes bitter or not?
No, Steve would have voted Vanessa. Because he prayed for her. He knew she played a good game. I mean, that's why he sent her home, because he knew.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Alex is messaging me. He does agree that he's pretty sure they let the third place person ask a question. And he specifically remembered last year, and I do remember, Victoria got to ask Derek her very own question last year. And I do remember that. Yeah, the fact that they didn't let Vanessa ask the question really kind of surprised me. And I don't know if that would have had an impact. I don't know if she would have voted anyway. Maybe they asked her. Maybe after the whole microphone incident happened, they were just kind of caught off guard and it just slipped Julie's mind. Because after that, Julie did seem to be a little bit rattled. And then maybe it moved forward from there. But yeah, they didn't give Vanessa. Steve wins 4-3. And then we get to the America's favorite house guest portion of the show. And the final three was Jason, James, and Mac. What do you think of those three? Were you shocked? I was a little shocked to hear Jason's name in there.
Just a little. Yeah, I was. I didn't think people would.
He was an early boot, and for me to hear that early boot make the final three was very surprising. It was very shocking in that aspect for me. But I was glad because he was entertaining. I would love to see a second chances with Jason. I'd love to see Jason play this game more. He was one of my favorite people early, him and Davon. Amazing race, Davon and Jason. That would be awesome. So that was to me, but it wasn't so much that it happened. And then James won. I thought Johnny Mac was going to win. I was hoping Johnny Mac was going to win. But at the end of the day, I'm glad James won. We all know Johnny Mac's a dentist. I know they're not the richest people, but he has a successful career. So for the money aspect of it, I was really excited to bring home that prize and for James to go. How are our polls looking, Mama S? Do you have any results for us on those?
Right now, most people are saying no, Will and Austin will not laugh. And yes, that Vanessa was robbed.
So people are agreeing Vanessa was robbed. Who said no? You voted against Vanessa being robbed.
Oh, that was me.
That was you. And then I love this third option here. Austin ends up with Julia.
Hey, why not? It's like a soap opera, right?
Absolutely. So let's talk of this season overall. Been bad season, one that will be remembered, one that will kind of go away. What did you think overall of Big Brother?
I thought it was an okay season. I've seen better. It wasn't my favorite season, but it was better than the past two seasons.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
For me, just the
age
logistic with the people on there. I mean, I like watching it, but when I started watching it, there was more of an age span, more of a variety of people, and it just seems to be getting younger and younger. And
I like the seasons where you see two major alliances dueling. And to me, this game just kind of got just like last game got dominated by Derek, and there was no. The season was very predictable from the very beginning. And that's what bothered me the most. I think it was great casted. I just think that it got very predictable and it got overrun. And so that's kind of what happened there. But that's it, Big Brother. The season is over until next summer or BB Canada starts. I'm super excited about that. Let's check back in on our fantasy games. How many players do we have left?
I will have six left.
Who are they? Do we have an update on who's left?
We have Kelly Wigglesworth, Terry Dietz, Stephen Fishback, Jeremy Collins, and Joe Eglin. We have five left. I'm sorry.
Okay, so five are left. Here's what we'll do. We're going to be ending this show here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. If you haven't picked a player, if you haven't picked a player, Patrick Scarola is all on my message saying, Cody told me about a fantasy league. Cody told me about a fantasy league. He just messaged me that he's available.
Well, tell him to get on the page and pick a player.
Yeah, I'll message him after the show and tell him to take a look at it. So if you haven't picked, and there still are spots later, if this show ends, go look at our Facebook page, Reality Rules. And you pick a player there, you can message Susan. She'll get you on there, and we'll go from that. Also, make sure you tune in next Wednesday. We'll move it up because Survivor plays from 8 to 9, so we'll make the show next week at 10:30 Eastern Time, 9:30. We'll do a Survivor recap. I know Susan's got the Cubs. I will be doing one if she can join me this weekend or not. I'm not sure what day yet. I'll be doing a podcast at some point this weekend, more of a recorded. It'll be played live, but we'll be doing one for The Amazing Race, which premieres Friday night. And we also are going to be having one early next week. I don't know if I can get him in on or Monday or Tuesday, but a orger that I know, Kyle, is going to a Big Brother Canada casting call this weekend. And we're going to have him on some point within the next week to discuss and talk about how the casting call went, and give us the perspective of going to a Big Brother casting call. But I'm excited to go. Here's how I want to sign off. Mama S, who's going to be evicted from or voted out of Survivor next week? Do you have a prediction?
I'm going to say next week will be Abby.
I'm going to say next week is going to be Stephen. Stephen Fishback will be voted out next week, but I'm going to keep that point total. We'll see if any of our people get evicted and who can get the most points by the end of the season between me and you. Thanks for listening. We had a good time. The summer is officially over. As soon as Big Brother ended, my wife looked at me and said, well, it's over, and I feel like that's so true. When Big Brother ends, the summer also ends. But we have a whole lot of reality TV left. I've been watching The Voice this week. I'd love to do some episodes about that. I've been looking into The Amazing Race starts Friday. Survivor's coming up. Calvin says cast being voted out next week. I don't think it's going to happen, buddy. I think she's going to do it. Check out our polls. Keep answering on our polls. Follow us on Twitter at RealityRules1. That's the number one. Make sure you sign up for a fantasy player and like our Facebook page. And we will see you back sometime. Watch our Facebook page for the next episode. But if nothing before then, for sure next Wednesday at 9:30. Thank you. It was a pleasure as always. And always remember that no matter what happens on reality TV, Survivor, Big Brother, or orgs, we have spoken. Thanks, and see you next week.